Welcome back to our studio, where we have a special guest with us today, Toucan Sam from Fruit Loops. Toucan Sam, welcome.
It's my pleasure to be here. Oh, and it's Fruit Loops, just so you know.
Fruit?
Fruit.
Yeah, fruit.
No, it's Fruit Loops. The same way you say studio.
That's not how we say it.
Fruit Loops, find the loopy side.
Your home is your place of peace. It's clean. It's welcoming. And it's definitely not crawling with invading insects if you use Ortho Home Defense Max. Use it indoors on non-porous surfaces to treat and prevent cockroaches, spiders, and ants for up to 12 months. So your home can stay your place of peace, your work-from-home office, and your family's headquarters. Kill bugs inside, keep bugs outside, and love your home. Visit ortho.com for more.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Never be happy again. I'm sorry, I didn't know we were over the warm-up section.
Oh, welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome to the show, everyone. That's Marcus Parks, and I'm Ben Kissel, the guy who never finishes warming up.
I don't need to finish warm-up because I am hot to trot, Henry Zebrowski. Hot physically to the touch. The doctors call it a fever.
Yes, obese in the summer. Yeah.
Yes, that I have some sort of sickness, and that is why I am feverish to look at and hot to the touch, because I am dying.
So it's like when somebody gets cancer, or did the doctor say that you gave yourself this sickness due to bad diet and overall health?
You know what they say, how you are what you eat?
Right.
Apparently, I have eaten up to the ceiling amount of dumplings, and the doctors say that I'm becoming a dumpling.
A human dumpling?
Full of just delicious poke soup.
Ooh,
thick white noodle skin.
Oh,
all over
great.
My body. So line up, Chinese women. Line up, Chinese men.
Well, everyone likes a dumpling, to be
and
fair.
And get a couple of oar-sized chopsticks and bring them over to my house because we're having a Chinese fucking funeral.
And that's where they eat you with oars from a boat.
Yeah.
And they eat
that's
your
what a Chinese
organs.
Funeral. Yes.
I eat up to 16 dumplings a week.
Excellent.
That's not bad.
I think it's good because it's showing in your skin. You're looking healthier.
I mean, yeah.
Thank you.
Yellow. Yellowish.
Translucent.
Yes, like you have a smoker's skin.
You there have a smoker's skin.
I do have smoker's skin, yes.
Yes.
Don't look at my index finger.
Ugh. Won't do
and
it.
My thumb.
Alex, Alexandra and Caitlin, thank you so much for the schlitz and for the great tray from Dahmer's Ambrosia Chocolate Company.
It's pretty wonderful. Thank you, guys. You are wonderful and beautiful and tiny. You're small, but only because I've seen you in pictures on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty certain you're only 1 inch tall.
Yeah. You should check them out on a larger computer screen. All right, we got a live show coming up June 28th at 10 p.m.
We're doing all the plugs at the beginning.
We're doing it.
We're supposed to do the plugs at the end.
No, because we haven't even
introduced the show.
It's going to be a creepypasta.
Yeah, I know. There's a whole pot full of bubbling water full of fucking spooky spaghetti sitting on the stove. You're sitting over here jerking off in the bathroom like some kind of grade C restaurant
Well,
chef.
When we got nobody at our show because we plugged it at the very end, halfway through people turning it off because I don't know how to read.
People come to the show every week, and it's not just drifters.
Well, if they come every week, they're going to be very disappointed. It's a monthly show.
Yes.
So, that's fine. Either way, this month is June 28th at 10 p.m. right here at the Creek of the Cave, so come out for that. As forementioned, it is a creepypasta episode.
Oh, so much dough. All right, so let's set the mood, all right?
Yes.
Hopefully at your work. All right, first of all, you tell fucking Maria to mind her own business and stop reading your emails. All right, get her ass over the other side of the cubicle.
Mm.
So if you're at work, first of all, yes, set your dominion, your territory, all right? If you're at home, light a candle. Hopefully it's mesquite scented, so you get the waft of fresh barbecue.
A barbecue candle?
If you don't have that, which it's not common.
You could just make barbecue in your kitchen.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's more difficult than you think, once you have a grill top for your stove. But that is also expensive, and you got to get something good.
Yeah.
Light yourself an onyx candle. Smells of lavender, myrrh, incense.
But don't light those two candles together in the same room. Barbecue and lavender.
I don't
even
want you to unbutton your shirt today. I want you to cut it off you with the fucking scissor.
Or unbutton if you don't have a lot of shirts. Like, I don't have a lot of shirts. So
fluff your chest. Fluff your chest a bunch so your boobs look bigger to yourself. Smoke a big, long fucking Gandalf's fucking stick. And be prepared to be scared by the dulcet tones of Marcus Parksman Kislyam Sprosky's eighth episode Creepypastas.
The eighth episode of the Creepypasta series, yes. I mean, I'll tell you, these people keep on writing them, so we have a lot more episodes to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never All right. Who wants to start it off, guys?
I'll start with The Drain.
Yes.
I feel the soft patter of water on my head. I look at the small holes that project the only light I can see. Water is coming through, raining on me. Rain down, down, down. Ah, it feels wonderful. The water isn't clean, though. It contains all of the dirt and sweat from your busy day. I stick my tongue out, tasting you. Then comes my favorite part. You clean your hair, and some pieces come out. They travel through the holes, landing next to me. I scrape them up, moving to put them with the rest. I have a large collection of them. I've been collecting them since you were young. I have enough now to make a wig out of them. The water ceases, and you leave the view of my holes. I place your hair on my head, strands falling on my face. I inhale deeply, smelling you. I can only wait until you shower again.
So I can show you my new hair.
That's it? That's the story? So he's just under the drain getting everybody's hair? He's a hair demon?
It's a plumber or a landlord.
There's somebody down there collecting human hair.
This is what I want everyone to be afraid of now. Just so you know, you're out there. You're in the shower, right? And you're scrubbing your vulva, right? You got a little tiny man. He's looking through them holes and he's collecting your hair and he's making a fun little wig.
A little child's wig or something, huh?
I
watched
wig.
That Chris Rock movie, Good Hair, and I didn't see this mentioned one time.
I remember that. That was culturally relevant.
It was. Yeah. Not like that story.
No.
All right, Marcus, what do you got, buddy?
This one's called It Won't Be Long Now.
So shortly from now.
Shortly.
It will happen shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Any moment now.
Even now, I can see the red glowing eyes. They're floating right above my laptop screen. But I don't want to look up. I need to focus on my writing. Not on the eyes. Not on the eyes. How long has it been? Only 2 months, I think, since I started seeing those red eyes. I had just moved into my new apartment. 3 days in, and I noticed the open door.
Was it a railroad?
It was the old woman who greeted me warmly when I moved in.
Always.
I heard a slow, dull, metal-grinding screech as I walked by. And I let myself in. I was worried, and I was right to be. She was collapsed in the middle of the living room, and there I stood, frozen in terror, looking at her lifeless body. That's when I saw them for the first time. The red, glowing, piercing eyes just floating in the corner of the room, waiting. They disappeared when I turned on the lights. They always do. But they wait in the shadows. At night, I keep my desk lamp beside the bed, but I can still see them. They skulk in the darkest corners of my room and stare at me.
I'm over here, buddy. You tried to write? What it is? Some kind of blowjob movie? Screenplay you write? Some kind of blowjob fucking movie?
I like that. Yeah.
They're always staring at me. Looking right into my eyes whenever I'm brave enough to meet their gaze. Even during the day, even on the sunniest days, there are still shadows, and in the shadows are eyes. I was brave in the light of day once. I got close to them and saw that it wasn't just eyes. Teeth, too, in a giant grin that stretches up around its eyes. No mouth, really, just teeth, each one looking like a serrated switchblade all in a row, stretched up around the eyes into a contorted, sinister D. I bought flashlights. Of course I bought flashlights. but it always manages to mangle them in the dead of the night.
I mangle your flashlights so you cannot go. Maybe you should open your laptop and then you get light from the laptop, but I give you no suggestions.
Or when a single shadow slips over them. So when the power went out, all that was left was the light of my laptop. It's so dim, and I'm too terrified to move, huddled in the laptop's pathetic glow. I can hear that slow grinding noise. It's only a foot away. And the eyes are right there, above the laptop screen, its teeth hidden behind the monitor.
You watching some kind of funny YouTube? You watching funny YouTube on your laptop? Ooh, me watch.
I should try to move, but I'm petrified. It won't be long now. My battery is 7%.
Whoa.
That's the most terrifying thing so far in the story.
I hope you get my story. I hope you post it. But God, most of all, I hope it doesn't hurt.
Well, cool. I don't know why he didn't close that off with, but God, most of all, don't rent an apartment from an elderly Italian woman.
Because she's going to stay in the house. They have nowhere to go. The Italians don't believe in nursing homes.
And they don't understand privacy.
No.
That's
no.
The major problem.
It is a big problem. And no, and absolutely, don't let them in there. It's, yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is, you know, get a charger.
Yeah. Get a charger.
No, you missed it. The power went out.
Oh, the power
went
out.
Yeah, the backup charger.
Yeah.
I mean, get it together. It just sounds like a kid trying to watch porno. And his parents, it's a small trailer, and his parents are 6 inches away.
His mom is an albino woman.
Yeah.
He's got two perfect red eyes.
Just tough.
Yeah, he's got the beginnings of understanding of metaphor. So
give him time. It's good. I bet he's a senator now.
I mean, I don't know. He didn't help out the dead woman whatsoever.
No, he didn't. No, he was frozen in terror, staring at her lifeless body.
Sounds like not a hero. Not a hero to me. That's what this guy sounds like overall. I tell you, I got a great one for you.
Yeah.
Yep. It's called 10. It's called 10.
You read creepypasta like a man trying to teach a dude over at Intercom how to land a plane.
It doesn't, yes. Well, God knows. I can't wait to have a kid. You know, that'll be nice. All right, so in this story, a man leaves his house every morning to walk around and go to work, and every time he does that, he passes a mental hospital surrounded by a wooden fence. Every morning, the patients are out in the yard, and you can hear them saying in unison, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
This is insensitive. The way you're doing this is insensitive to people with mental handicaps.
One day he gets curious and looks through a hole in the fence. Suddenly a stick shoots out and pokes him in the eye. Fuck, he says to himself.
He wouldn't say it out loud.
He said it to himself. Fuck. I'm just fuck, he said to himself. That's what it says right here. I'm just reading the story as written. Well, walking away, pissed off, he can hear the patient saying, 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, 11. That's called 10.
That is great. You know,
isn't that exciting? So he walks by and then what's in the mental hospital? They poke him in the eye. And this is what these kids do for fun.
Isn't this also technically the rules to cricket? I've only seen the game in little pieces.
You know,
I've seen pictures of the players and the tools they use. I say tools.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, no, just dude just left his house and walked by the mental hospital and... Yeah, they were all saying 10, and then he...
10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Yeah, that's great. Of course, I always look at a fence. That's my favorite. A bunch of people are screaming numbers. I'm just going to be like, get me in that room, because I am a born accountant.
Yeah, but he made their day. I mean, these mental patients, they were thrilled to get an 11th victim.
Yeah, it is really great. It is good for them. That's great. It's like, you know, it's great. My cousins used to play the game. It's a great game.
Mm-hmm. Never look through a fence. Don't... Don't rent an apartment from an elderly Italian woman and never look through a fence. We've learned two things already.
Learned two things so far. So this is a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
This next story is called Candy, I'm sorry. Mom, said the little girl, rubbing her eyes and standing in the doorway to her mother's room. Mom, the Easter bunny is eating my candy, she said. Nonsense, baby, the woman replied. The Easter Bunny gives out candy. He doesn't eat it. You know.
We all agree the Easter Bunny is real.
The Easter Bunny. Listen, Easter Bunny.
But you've got it wrong what he does.
First of all, Nanita, I need you to shut your fucking mouth because I'm trying to blow your father. Second of all, the Easter Bunny, everybody knows, hippity hops around and fucking, don't even get me started.
I'm a dumb child.
Fuck. The woman lightly shook her covers and continued to speak, halfway into her pillow and halfway to her daughter. Now go back to sleep, baby. But Mom, the girl said, the Easter Bunny is eating candy. Chino spoke in a more serious tone, as if she was almost going to cry. Her mother sat up and opened her arms. Baby, I just told you the Easter Bunny doesn't eat candy. He hands it out to little children. Besides, it's not even Easter yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go back to sleep, she said in her kindest voice.
What's the other one that she has?
Go back to sleep!
Yeah, that sounds nice to me. Oh, nice.
Okay, Mom. The child sighed. She turned to walk out of the room. The woman smiled and thought, crazy kid with her lively imagination, and went fucking back to sleep. Out in the hallway, the little girl stood for a while staring at the Easter Bunny eating her candy. She then sighed. Mommy said I should go back to bed. The Easter Bunny smiled.
Good idea, child. Turn around. Don't look back.
He flicked a shiny metal pendant at the child. She picked it up and cried as she saw what it was. A dog tag named Candy.
Now the dog tag was named Candy?
Yeah.
The dog tag described Candy. You imagine that they go, this mom sounds dumb enough to look at a dog tag called Candy and be like, but what's the dog's name? The dog tag is called Candy, but nobody wrote the name of the dog on the dog.
Now, Easter Bunny, I know, only gives out candy. Now, we got a dog named Candy, but you know that Easter Bunny is only going to be friends with our dog named Candy.
Of course.
Well, for our next one, we've gotten a lot of requests over the last few episodes to do some video game creepypasta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
People really like that. They love it, you know?
People like video games.
They love it. I love video games.
See, I don't have time for video games. I'm too busy working out and writing my novel.
Mm-hmm. What's your novel about, Henry?
It's called Three Little Pigs in a Corner, and what it's about is a bunch of pigs living in an apartment together, and it's really funny. It's a bunch of pigs, and they're living together, and they got personalities.
Do they take up the whole apartment?
No, they only live in, like, one corner.
In one corner.
Yeah. And who lives in the other? In the rest of the apartment.
This horrible chronic masturbator named Martin.
So now I see the conflict.
Yes.
Right, of course.
They can't get into the kitchen because that dude's just there fucking all the covering all the pots and pans in jism. Semolina.
Semolina, yeah. So you just can't get your little fingers over the Xbox controller.
Yeah.
That's why that's why he doesn't play video games.
Well, this one's called Sonic CD. Sonic the Hedgehog CD.
I remember Sega CD.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It failed miserably.
Sure. It was bad.
Mm-hmm. When I was young, I had a Sega CD with a few games, including Silpheed and...
All right. Rich Mr. Stevens over here.
I only had a few games. I only have a few games.
I just had a stick, and I kept on poking people in the eyes every time they looked through the family fence.
11! 11!
Yes! 11. Yes!
Fuck!
Yeah. You had Silpheed and Sonic CD.
What a poor, dumb kid.
Silpheed. I enjoyed a lot of them, but I only played Sonic CD once or twice.
Because it was gay.
No. Eventually, I lost my Sega CD add-on, so I could only play Genesis games. Soon after, I bought Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and fell in love with the Sonic series.
What is this, some kind of fucking video game review?
Yeah, this is just written by a nerd spoiled kid who's beating up Pee-wee Herman on Saturday. I mean, this is pathetic.
I bought every game for the Genesis and played nothing but...
Did Holden McNeely write this? I bought every game, but they hadn't created one of the games that I had thought that they should have created yet.
Years later, after I graduated from college, I was looking for things throughout my house to bring with me to my new apartment, and I found my old Sega CD.
Oh, hell yeah, now the pussy come running!
But the only game I could find for it was Sonic CD, but I was glad. I had regretted not playing it since I started liking Sonic.
What's one of your major life regrets, Mr. Johnson?
I just wish I could have played more Sonic the Hedgehog. Well, I also never saw my son.
All right, well, inject him. The warden didn't call to cease the execution.
After I unpacked my apartment, I plugged in my Genesis and I put in Sonic CD. The game started completely normally. While playing, however, the screen flashed red and white a few times for a brief millisecond, and I thought I saw a creepy face covered in blood in the background every few seconds. By the time I was done playing, it was 10 p.m., so I went to bed.
a few days later.
He's in an apartment alone, by the way. So we assume he's 18, 19 years old?
This is after he graduated college.
So he's like 24. It's 10 p.m. Better put my Sonic down.
I understand if you were like a construction worker building a new skyscraper, but everybody else stays up till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
A few days later, I looked up a way to get secret images in the sound test.
Oh, he's just looking for Sonic's girlfriend's tits.
I can find that for you if you want. The first one I did was the Sonic Mario mix, but when I opened it up, instead of the normal image, it was Sonic with completely black eyes, and instead of the Japanese-like writing on the bottom, it said, "Leave now." I was slightly scared by this.
Well, so I haven't left my apartment in 2 years on account of my morbid obesity.
I was slightly scared by this, so I tried the cute Sonic. But the cute baby Sonic was lying dead on the ground, blood on the ground. The background was black, and Sonic's eyes were now red. There was text at the bottom that said, "Leave now. This is your last warning."
Is this just like a bad Nintendo Power review?
Could be.
I quit the sound test as soon as I saw it and got back to the game. I was on Tidal Tempest. The red and white flashes became longer and more plentiful, and so did the faces, which were now clearly visible. I made it to Act 3, and although I destroyed the robot generators, the level was in the bad future. The boss fight started, and I quickly started to drown. I tried to get the bubbles, but Robotnik was too high to hit. The screen went black. I was then transported all the way to Metallic Madness Zone, and then I fought the final boss, or at least tried to. After I lost my rings, the game started skipping and lagging a bit.
This horror is happening, he's just sucking on Mountain Dew Code Red, sitting in a beanbag chair. Yeah.
Okay, or Baja Blast. When I got hit, I not only died, but Sonic was still on Robotnik's gear drill thing. It started spinning, and Sonic was violently hitting the ground and roof, and there was guts and blood everywhere. Robotnik let out a deep, evil laugh, and the screen went black.
Probably so, remember that when, Edgar Allan Poe used to write horror shorts?
He would sit and for hours toil over each word. He invented the word detective.
Isn't that something?
You know, so much
the
work.
The raven. There's a lot of love in his stories.
The quill,
human interaction.
Loss. You know what I mean? He said he looked into the darkness of humanity. What did he see? Reflection of himself.
Right.
This guy hated his Sonic game.
Didn't like, but this was, I mean, this was a creative writing experience for him, and this is as creative as he could get. He was still attached to a video game system and still detached from the story.
Also, the scariest thing that could have happened to him was that he couldn't beat Dr. Robotnik and had shut off before he could save.
The game then sent me back to the Palm Tree Panic Zone. Sonic was limping with one arm. Text came on the screen and said, "You disobeyed my warning. You will pay the price." Sonic's eyes then turned black, and he fell to the ground lifeless. The screen went black, and the title
suck at his limp little hedgehog penis.
Leave him alone.
The title screen showed, but Sonic's eyes were black. I turned the Sega CD off and snapped the CD in half, terrified. That night, I woke up all of a sudden, and then I thought I saw Sonic's head with black eyes staring at me out my window.
Well, you know, just get rid of the word "I thought" and just say that you saw it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you
don't have to say "I thought."
So, it was probably just a Mexican lawn worker with a mohawk.
I will say, Palm Tree Panic is a very difficult zone.
Well, that sounds very hard, yeah. Palm trees, and then with the panic, emotion.
But it sounds like a Palm Tree Panic sounds like a fun DJ night in Margaritaville.
That's very true as well. I'm always at peace around palm trees. I don't know who panics around a palm tree, but some folks do.
People who are running out of coconuts.
I guess so, yeah. If you're in the mood for a coconut and there's no coconuts in any of those palm trees, you might panic just a bit.
You will never find me so full of rage.
Looking when you're for shaking a at a palm tree looking for a coconut. Yikes. All right, now this one's called "Pretending to Be Asleep Doesn't Work." Which is...
Is this about your love life?
Oh, yeah, buddy. That is too funny. all right. So a young boy is sleeping in his bed, and it's just his usual night. And he hears... man, that's great. So a young boy is sleeping. We know where we are so far? Young boy is sleeping in his bed on a usual night. He hears some footsteps outside his door and peeks out... Yep, and peeks out his eyes to see what's happening. His door swings open quietly to reveal a murderer carrying the corpse of his parents, which is so far so good if you're
a kid.
Well,
how do you know that he's the murderer? He could just be carrying the corpses, but I'm not going to get into, you know, the semantics.
As a child, he doesn't understand.
You're ruining the story.
Semantics.
You're just going to find semen in all words that start with an S-E, huh? Very good.
Yeah.
So as he opens up his door, we already know that, and to reveal a murderer carrying the corpse of his parents. After silently propping them up in a chair, he writes something on the wall in blood of the dead bodies. He then hides under the child's bed.
Oh. Cool.
The child is scared beyond belief.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't read the writing on the wall, and he knows the man is under his bed. Like any child, he pretends that he slept through the whole thing and hasn't awoken yet. He didn't get, go away. He didn't jump out a window or nothing. He just faked sleep. He lays there.
You're like a callous EMT worker.
No, I'm telling you what the kid's up to.
Yeah, and then I walked into the room and, you know.
His parents murdered.
There was a leg in one room, and
next thing you know, I mean, I guess the sick fuck had cut open a bell and he was playing with a fucking dead baby like it was some kind of handball or something.
Well, either way, so the kid just laid there pretending to be asleep, quietly hearing the breathes from under his bed, the breaths, depending on how you want to say it.
Breaths.
Yeah, so he's hearing some breaths underneath his bed. He's just trying to pretend to be asleep. About an hour passes, and his eyes are adjusting more and more to the darkness. He tries to make out the words, but it's a bit of a struggle for the kid, you know?
A bit.
Yep. He gasps when he finally makes out the sentence, "I know you're awake." He feels something shift underneath the bed.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do, and the memories keep cycling, and I get emotional, and we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy, and that is not sad. That is celebratory, so you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This is Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, the promo, and in 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you why you should check out the show. I, the host Scott Aukerman, have a lighthearted conversation with famous celebrities like John Hamm, Allison Williams, Phoebe Bridgers, Bob Odenkirk, just to name a few. Things go a little off the rails when different eccentric characters drop by to be interviewed as well. Each week is a blend of conversations and character work from your favorite comedians, as well as some new hilarious voices. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast. Listen every Monday wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool. I thought it was going to be, you'll never make it as an actor.
Who knows?
You can't that would read the writing terrible. On the wall.
I mean, that's the thing. The kid is getting scared because the guy knows that he's awake, but of all the things to be scared of.
Yeah.
You could have just killed him.
You should have just killed him.
I think he's
going
to.
But I guess you
to.
Don't get all that sweet, creamy boy fear.
Yeah, no, maybe that's what the person lives off of.
Now, so this is a I found to be scary and sad. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. It is called "The Scariest Part of Being a Parent is Knowing the Numbers and the Odds." It is written by Reddit user As for Class.
How do you spell that?
ASFOR class.
CLASS.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we should actually reach out to this Reddit user and tell them that we read the thing on last podcast.
Yeah, right? We can't reach out to any of these people. We'll get pulled in their web of ups and down votes.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I can't deal with all that.
It's all in the numbers. That's how you understand anything of real value in this world. At this point, we don't need the baby monitor anymore. But even after all this time, I still need the static to fall asleep. It was a while ago when the baby started sleeping. It was a while ago when the baby started sleeping through the night, and I needed it even through that transition. The monitor has one of those screens, too, that turns on for movement, which really doesn't turn on anymore. But sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and press the on button, just to look, just to remind myself. A healthy male in their prime will produce anything from like 30 million to an excess of 1 billion sperm during an ejaculation. Ejaculation. That's a bad doctor. 30 million. 30 million. You know, any sperm are like tiny worms.
Yeah.
I had met my wife in high school, but we didn't date until after college. She went her way, I went mine. And for some reason, both of us backwoods kids ended up in Panama City Beach at the same beach during spring break. It was the kind of scenario we both completely hid from our parents, but that was just the beginning. The first kiss escalated into a lot of other firsts that would just sort of blew right through that week. We had come so far then. Getting married, they ass sex.
Yeah, they did. Judging by that, you know, we had our first kiss and then led to a lot of other firsts. And
then he cut my clit off.
Yeah, you know, so it's a first and a last, I guess. Yeah.
Getting married, the honeymoon in Florida. You know, we decided that we'd spend a few years on our careers and spending time together. And after that, we had the kid 9 months after we started trying. You know, the real irony of having children with my wife is that we were actually both in the same health class together. Mr. Schuler was this old conservative values man for the middle of the century. He sure didn't teach us too much, but he did manage to tell us interesting tangents that had nothing to do with sex or reproduction. He never did tell us the odds to anything. None of the real numbers. Like the odds for miscarriages. Most people don't ever look at those numbers, so they don't realize.
Why would they?
A spontaneous abortion can take place at any moment during the first 20 weeks, Yeah, that is funny. Spontaneous abortion isn't funny, though. And we also went through a few false alarms in those first 2 years. We made it pretty far at one point. We were a week away from telling our friends and family when my wife had another period. It was a rough point in our life together, but we kept trying. We knew it would happen eventually. Once your child's born, there's 1 in 1,500 chance that it will pass away from SIDS. They just fall asleep one day and they never wake up again. No one has completely figured out why. If the mother is seriously ill, the odds go up that the child will have difficulty. In American science, the child mortality rate of children that don't make it past their fifth birthday is around 6 million a year. In some countries in Africa, it's around 15 to 20 million a year. America's current population is around 310 million. When we were finally able to tell our friends and family, I was so happy. We were making it. When we found out it would be a boy, that was such a proud moment. We took classes and I grew in my paranoia. We did our best to be informed. It was pretty hard stepping up to the plate with that. Sandra was too drugged up to say yes or no to things, so there I was, remembering the classes and remembering what to say no to, what to say yes to. They try to sell you anything at that moment. Most of the time, they just want to get off shift early. You can't blame them too much, I guess. A job's a job, and I have no reason to be bitter about our experience at the hospital, but there were a few moments where I thought they were trying to get one over on us, you know? I just had to keep reminding myself about everything. You can learn a lot from history. I mean, up in the 1950s, doctors were still telling women to smoke while they were pregnant, and they took x-rays of the babies. You know, we get into rhythms during those first few days. Sleep when the baby sleeps. Anyone who doesn't do that deserves to be tired, you know? Babies are like cats. They sleep that much. And then once a newborn wakes up, just go through the motions. Change, feed, burp, rock, boom, he's sleeping. But then tonight happened. I had the monitor on and I fell asleep to the static, the low hum it made with the volume set at 40%, just in case. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, the baby started screaming and hard. It was the loudest, most terrible scream that I had ever heard him bring up from his gut. There's something inside you when you become a parent, something inside that doesn't make those screams annoying. Instead, when it's your baby, you just feel the screams like blows to the gut. I would do anything to soothe my little guy, anything to make him feel better. I would do anything to hold him, to give him that comfort, to hold him again. It was all in the numbers. Somewhere, that's how it always was and how it always is. Anything of real value has to be measured by that, and life is the most valuable of all things. He screamed for 30 minutes over the monitor. The motion sensor even came on. He was that active. And my wife and I just laid there because the baby had passed 2 weeks ago. Sits. I like that story.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. A dead baby.
It's a dead baby because it's a dead ghost baby.
Now I get it.
I do like that this guy's baby died. The most annoying father on the face of the planet.
He was a nervous father.
He killed the child.
Yeah. This guy sounds like he thought he had an indigo child on his hands. This child was going to feel way too terrible.
No baby is special. Most babies are just a bunch of Lego parts that are just going to barely make it to the end of the marathon.
And everyone just pretends like all these 8 billion whatever sperm are all like little individual Da Vinci's. The winner sperm wins.
SIDS is still a tragedy.
Good God. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Keep the baby monitor off or throw it away. The kid's dead 2 weeks
obviously.
Ago.
Obviously. Come on, bro. You're just asking for a baby ghost.
You knew it was just a numbers game anyway.
All right. This story is called Day of All the Blood. This is the story of a day where there was all this blood. A man was walking around and blood started coming out of him everywhere. There was so much blood that it filled up an elevator.
He went
to the store and there was just blood all over the place. People were slipping in it and they were grossed out. He tried to go swimming and all the sharks went nuts and bit everybody. He got chased by all the vampires ever. One time, the blood got a kid and a dog. At the end of the day, everyone decided they would send him to space so that he would stop getting blood everywhere. The scariest part is that the man was you. Or he was a lady, if you're a lady, and you forgot that this happened.
See, I feel like it's all in caps, so I feel like you're really missing the true pronunciation of the story, which is, there's a lost story, but there was something's butt. I mean, I was talking about the butt that got hit.
So you're with your honey, and you're making out when the phone rings. You answer it, and the voice is, what are you doing with my daughter? You didn't tell your girl, and she say, my dad is dead. Then who wants phone?
You know, it's a parable of our time. I think it's bigger than who wants phone.
Oh, I was trying to solve it the other day, and I just fell right asleep.
You know,
right,
it was the phone.
Can't do it.
It's that, what's his name? That Facebook. Kupferberg. What's his name? Puddleman.
Zuckerberg is phone. Okay.
I would say... Stepdad.
Yeah, he's the phone.
Definitely stepdad.
Sure ain't that fake Jesus.
Nope.
That's fun to say.
No. All right. This one's called What's in the Basement. It's kind of exciting.
The exercise bike.
You always wonder what's in the basement. I don't even know why houses have those things. You know what? I'm not gonna have one in my house. No, but nothing good's ever in the basement. It's either an exercise bike or a ghost. Either way, I'm not going down there. Like a one bit. So the mommy told me never to go.
Like a 7-year-old accountant going over another 7-year-old woman's tax receipts every April.
All right. So mommy told me never to go in the basement. This is written by a shark.
Sure. Yeah.
So he calls her still mommy.
Yeah, mommy. Yeah.
So mommy told me never to go in the basement, but I wanted to see what was making that noise. It sounded like a puppy, and this will attract a child. like a puppy. Oh, no. No, neither.
Hey.
Sound like, that's a man.
Hey.
No, and you sounded like a drunken Furby.
I'm not a man. I'm a puppy.
All right. So it sounded like a puppy. And I wanted to see the puppy. So I opened the basement door and I tiptoed down a bit. I didn't see a puppy. And then my mommy yanked me out of the basement and yelled at me. Mommy had never yelled at me before. And it made me sad and I cried.
You see, what makes me scared is worse if this is written by a 30-year-old man.
Yeah, it probably is. Yes.
Then mommy told me to never go in the basement again. And she gave me a cookie, which is actually bad parenting. You should not reward bad behavior.
Maybe that child should have died of SIDS.
Well, he was already too old to die of SIDS because he can write. So
true.
Anyway, so mommy gave him a cookie. Mommy gave me a cookie. That made me feel better. So I didn't ask her why the boy in the basement was making noises like a puppy or why he had no hands or feet.
Don't worry about that. It's your younger son, Bob. Or at least that's what he's called when we put him in the ocean.
Oh, that's a good joke about somebody's possible brother who has no hands or feet.
You should see when we put him out in front of the front door, then I call him Matt.
That's another funny
one. That's an old joke.
Yeah, man, so but why does he bark?
Because he's retarded.
No, he's not. No, he's attempting to attract a child. He knows that children love puppy sounds.
Yeah.
Well, he's completely not dangerous because he doesn't have arms or legs unless he's got a bunch of traps sitting around him.
Yeah, and unless you get close enough and then he can bite.
You can just call a kid's name and he'll come.
Hey.
Josh.
What I was doing was better. Hey, your mother kept me down here.
I mean, that's scary.
Yeah,
but
yes.
A puppy isn't scary for a child.
Because who was scariest here was the mother.
Mm-hmm. Bad mother.
So this is a story called Korean Elevator Game. And the game is when you get 100 people to fit inside an elevator because there's only one bag of grain in there.
I'm sorry, what happened? I wasn't listening.
No, that's the North Korean elevator
famine
game.
Oh, it's a North Korean, but this is South Korea.
No, this is South Korean, yeah.
Oh, okay, thank God.
Introduction. This is a game from Korea.
Okay, all right.
Should I not do that? By performing this ritual, you are supposed to get into a different world, like this show with Lisa Bonet. According to people that have successfully completed the game, it looks the same as the town building that you are from, but all the lights are off and you only see a red cross in the distance. There are no other living things there except yourself. Some say electronics like phones, cameras, electronics don't work, while some say they do. Also, some say that getting back to the real world is harder for some reason. You get disoriented and forget the elevator you came on, or somehow the elevator seems to get further and further away as you walk towards it. The Korean elevator game. How to do it? You must be in a 10-plus story building and in the elevator alone. If someone is in the elevator with you, you get them out of the elevator.
It won't work.
It won't work. Go in the elevator on the first floor, which is, I mean, you just got locked in the building, so you have to go in the elevator from the fucking first floor.
That's number one.
That's number one. Press 4 when you reach the fourth floor. Don't cut out. And press 2. When you reach the second floor, press 6. When you reach the sixth floor, press 2. When you get to the second floor, press 10. When you reach the 10th floor, press 5. When you reach the 5th floor, a girl will come in. That woman is not human. Do not talk or look at the girl. If you do, she'll take you away. Press 1, and if the elevator instead starts going up to the 10th floor, then you have succeeded. You will have reached another world where there is no one except you. Good luck fucking masturbating. If you get off at the 10th floor, the girl will ask, "Where are you going?" But don't answer. How to return. If the woman doesn't get on, and if you don't get off at the 10th floor, if you don't get off at the 10th floor, then press 1. If it doesn't press, keep on pressing until it works. To return after you get off, you must use the same elevator combo to go back. Now remember this. Do the 4-2-6-2-10-5 combo again, right? After you reach the 5th floor. All right, press 1. As you're going to the 10th floor, press some other number. You gotta cancel it. After you reach the 1st floor, check your surroundings. When you return to your house after you faint,
this is possible.
If you were to faint in the process and wake up to find yourself in your own house, there's a high chance she'll be taken back in that world again.
Wow. Well, that's a hell of a way to make everybody want you out of their apartment.
I will say, if you want to be alone and in the elevator, just keep playing this game.
Yeah, 4-2-6-10-5.
426-1005.
426-2105.
426-2105. Just remember that there. 426-2105. Just remember 426-2105. You just remember that.
And then hope that nobody has a heart attack in the building and the paramedics need to use the elevator, or you will be charged with murder.
Or if I'm late for an audition, I'm going to fucking stab you in the throat.
That's the real horror there.
This one's called The Administrator.
Ah.
This is another this is another crazy person one.
Ooh, exciting.
In Columbia, South Carolina, there's an abandoned insane asylum on the corner of Bull and Elmwood.
That's also where my pulled pork comes from.
Bull and Elmwood?
Should you enter it and travel up through its winding stairs to the second floor, you will find a large treatment area. There's a table opposite to the entrance of this room, which is piled high with hundreds of razor blades. Many people have reported a strange urge to take one of these rusted blades and cut a small X into the center of their forehead in a location corresponding with the pineal gland. Few ever give in to this urge. Those who push aside their fears of tetanus or other infection have reported a sudden blinding headache and a whiting out of vision. When they regain some sight, they all claim to have witnessed black humanoid silhouettes upon further investigation of the asylum. These shadow people never have been known to interact with these people, generally just emitting an etheric muttering from unformed lips.
Yeah, you fucker, you go and you fuck yourself, buddy. You go fuck yourself.
As if whispering to themselves. Others seem content in simply huddling their dark masses in the corners of the hallways and cells. Select people, however, have reported encountering a shadowy entity they universally call the Administrator. This being is said to be sitting in the administrative office, made of dark, shifting energies akin to the other shadow inhabitants, but with a few consistent, discernible features. These include a dark hood obscuring much of its face and glowing eyes that seem to reflect the light of the room. Strangest of all, the Administrator is always said to possess what appears to be akin to a canine muzzle with rows of sharp teeth. All who have encountered him have fled instantly, fearing the sharp, unmistakable malignancy and intelligence housed within his dark eyes. A few people have even reported a later sensation of always being watched, occasionally catching out of the corner of their eyes glimpses of a large black dog.
I was going to say Scruff McGruff.
Yeah, Scruff McGruff.
The whole time I'm saying this is Scruff McGruff.
They're afraid of Scruff McGruff. That's what they're afraid of.
It's a dog wearing a jacket.
But think about this. It's like a lot of things. Yes, Scruff McGruff. Very funny cartoon. Serious.
He wasn't funny.
But he was
threatening to lock you up.
It was always
kind of
funny.
Take a bite out of crime.
I hated Scruff McGruff. There was a bunch of kids growing up that liked him. I had no respect for that dog.
But if Scruff McGruff was real, that would be very terrifying.
Yes.
Like if a cop dog. If a cop dog showed up to arrest you for fuck, first of all, you're on drugs if you meet Scruff McGruff.
Definitely.
If he is arresting you, you're high on whatever it is. And then he starts going like, rah, 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 and you'd be like, yeah.
If he opens up that jacket and shows everyone his big old doggy dick, the man's wearing a flasher's outfit.
If you want to see what Scruff McGruff might look like in real life, go watch the video Dog Police.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dog men wearing trench coats and hats in that video. Yeah. One of my favorite songs.
If you want to watch other dog-related movies, Tank Girl, very good. Ice-T is a dog.
Kangaroos.
Oh, there were kangaroos?
Ice-T is a kangaroo.
Ah, I thought it was a dog this whole time. All right, Marcus wants me to read a story called Legs. So that's very exciting.
And you got some big old hams on you, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do, full of blood clots. They're going to kill me one day.
That's the scariest story of them all.
Oh, my goodness. I've been wearing shorts in 23 years.
I saw you in shorts last year, though.
Yeah. Inside.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I see you in shorts in your apartment all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, don't take them outside.
No.
Anyway, this is called Legs. A newly married couple moved into a nearby neighborhood. That's kind of interesting.
You look like you're reading a menu at a fancy restaurant.
I haven't read this one yet, so I
have escargot.
What is that? Is it snails? I can't eat fucking snails. What am I? Some kind of hawk? Hawks eat snails.
I believe that's actually true. Snails are not food for human consumption. That's why they have those hard shells, because they don't want to be eaten, and I respect that for them. A newly married couple moved in a nearby neighborhood. The few months of their stay were uneventful, but as time went on, the wife noticed that the husband was coming home later than usual, making her suspicious of him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he got that job.
Intrigue.
One night, the wife was awakened by the sound of heavy footsteps on their carpet. No, and that's going to be pretty heavy. Fine carpet.
Thump. Thump.
Knowing that it's her husband, she decided to give him the cold shoulder by pretending to be asleep. Oh, that's...
That old trick, huh?
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah, but then my old dowsing rod comes awake going looking for water.
Sure, sure. Or, you know, you just did exactly what your husband wants you to do, is fall asleep. which I love the old pretend to be asleep. But women don't do it enough anymore.
No, they really don't.
Pretend to be asleep constantly.
Stop bringing up our relationship problems after the light has been turned off.
Perfect. Why don't you pretend to be asleep? That would make me feel
this
real
is now, bad. It is truly getting scary.
Good, good. So she's pretending to be asleep. She felt him lie down beside her and place his arms around her neck, which felt heavier than normal, which means he just does this every night. Yeah. That's kind of that's interesting. She had enough and lifted his arms and saw.
What did she see, Ben?
The leg was a horse.
No, the leg of a horse. The leg.
So it was a horse. It was a leg of a Goldthwait's partner from Hot to Trot. Is that what it was? Like it was just going like, hey, lady. No,
I did not read leg of a horse. Leg was a horse.
It was a horse's leg.
It was a big leg of a horse.
It was a horse's leg.
That doesn't make any sense.
So she was, yeah, but I mean, because I mean, oh, so they just moved into that neighborhood, and her husband was coming home later and later, and then she heard some stomping on the carpet. And
yeah, then a horsey came home. Yeah, and her childhood dream was finally fulfilled.
Like, but what was her husband up to, huh?
We don't know.
I mean,
I guess he
got an affair or something.
Slaughterhouse.
Yeah, maybe.
That's past.
Here's another one.
Serial killer. Over his car radio, Marcus.
I didn't write this.
Oh, wow. Another Marcus, huh?
Heard the DJ announce that a serial killer with his short blonde hair and a skull tattooed in his right cheek had recently escaped from a nearby prison. He frowned and anxiously placed one hand on the pistol he kept at his hip. As a young woman in his passenger seat gazed at his profile with mounting terror and prepared to do God only knew what in her panic.
Yeah, Marcus was a serial killer.
I see.
Dating Marcus Parks is hard. You gotta be careful. Dating Marcus Parks is hard. You better play dead.
Play dead, pretend to be asleep.
It's always the best way to deal with me when I'm in one of my fits.
All right.
We're gonna end on another video game.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
I don't even get what the story was.
He was a serial killer.
The guy was the serial killer.
I see.
Yeah. It was a twist.
Wasn't a horse, though, huh?
Edgar Allan Poe spent months
right.
playing with a pendulum, being like, what horse comes from the monotony of a pendulum?
Telltale heart, things like
lots
this.
Lots of stuff.
Really fun.
And some guys, you know, they write little stories in between masturbating.
Remember that when they sold us on the internet saying it was going to make everybody smarter?
Yeah.
Well, this one, we're going to end on another video game, another super short one. This one's called Xbox Live.
Ooh.
Brandon stayed up until 3 a.m. playing on Xbox Live with his friend Dustin. Both boys chatting, yelling, and provoking each other over their headsets the entire time.
So they don't, but the word faggot isn't in this.
don't
people on Xbox Live just call each other faggot?
Yeah. They do. So you're saying this is something that less classy people would say to each other.
It's implied in the story that if they're on Xbox Live, they're going to be saying
the
faggot.
Unsophisticates.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The next morning, when Brandon called to arrange a play date, Dustin's mother answered the phone and tearfully informed him that Dustin had died choking on a wad of bubble gum at 9 p.m. the previous night.
Might as well have been like, he slipped on a McDonald's wrapper and fell down the floor and he hit his head on a fucking, I don't know.
So what, the ghost?
I don't know. It's
the ghost was playing Halo with him?
Yeah.
Ghosts are playing Xbox Live now?
And he died of fucking gum, dude.
Yeah.
If you're a kid who dies from chewing fucking gum, you don't deserve to be president one day.
A big wad of bubble gum.
Definitely not.
Choked on it. And then, you know, Xbox on.
You know that
it's
like three or four pieces of gum, too, for him to fucking choke on it.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, a wad. is a lot of gum.
Too yeah. dumb to eat and play video games. Yeah. I mean, that's pathetic.
I used to do that when I was a kid, see how much gum I could fit into my mouth and then spit it out in my hand and then roll it up in a ball and throw it at stuff.
Boys and girls, this is what we used to do before the internet.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think that's actually kind of a fun game you played there.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was called Throw the Gumball.
Hey, Marcus, throw the gumball again game.
That's exciting. That is very exciting.
Well, we all learned a lot today.
My grandfather hated it.
Yeah. Well, back in his day, they only got one piece of gum for the whole family game, to split. So
yeah, their game was just like, let's kill the last horse on the farm.
Again.
Boy.
Yes.
You know, that was their game that they played because of the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had a very hard time.
Stare at the wall till the shadows make an image.
Yes. That's what TV used to be.
It was. I loved it. So, all right. Well, that's this episode of Creepypasta. We got June 28th, 10 p.m. here at the Creek in the Cave live show. It's going to be very, very fun. So come out to that. And
El Satan.
I think we should redo the beginning now so then we can put that in the front.
Halgeen.
Hail yourselves, everybody. Hail yourselves.
Fuck!
Fuck!
Fuck! Help me!
Megastellation.
This is Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, the promo, and in 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you why you should check out the show. I, the host Scott Aukerman, have a lighthearted conversation with famous celebrities like Jon Hamm, Allison Williams, Phoebe Bridgers, Bob Odenkirk, just to name a few. Things go a little off the rails when different eccentric characters drop by to be interviewed as well. Each week is a blend of conversations and character work from your favorite comedians, as well as some new hilarious voices. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast. Listen every Monday wherever you get your podcasts.